The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Is this the Dallas Cowboys' Nico Harrison moment? Only just done the right way. Let's talk about it here in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Yes, we're retiring until next training camp, or until I feel like trolling Sean, the ball knowers of the round table.
Oh, yes, the ball.
I mean, it was a great two-day segment.
Bobby knows ball, he knows ball.
Chief Hollow just couldn't stop singing it.
Ball with the ball on.
It's great. Yeah, you know what? Forget his 9.5. Take him down to a 9.2.
All right, so this is something that I feel like has been bubbling a little bit on the fan text this morning, and we've seen a little bit of it on Twitter and different things like that too. And you had mentioned it earlier, the fact that this doesn't feel, the way these are going sideways and the potential for trading Micah Parsons, if it happens, it does not feel anywhere close to the Luka Doncic moment.
And let's get the Luka news just out of the way. He signed a 3-year, $165 million extension with the Lakers, player option for year 3. I know a lot of people had held out hope, like, he'll leave there, maybe we can get rid of Nico and he'll come back.
Fortune favors the bold.
Luka's not going to like Los Angeles. He's not going to like the spotlight. He's not going to like LeBron. Well, Luka signs up for 3 years to set himself up to one day possibly make $1 million per game.
80 million? And this is the thing, like, you know, this is why Micah wants the 4 years, not the 5 years. It's why all these athletes want this. You know, Luka could have gone with a longer deal, and he chose to maybe become a free agent after the 26-7 season. Like, sign him up, man. Like, that's what you want if you're the player.
Yeah.
In that way, because but the fact that he can't get the Supermax because he was traded is one of the dumbest CBA things I've ever seen. Dumb.
Yeah, but I get it, too, in just the sense of, like, the Supermax is generally rewarding, like, players who have been great from the jump and through all the way. They generally think, like, if you get traded, the thought process behind it is if you get traded, like, that's a reset because you clearly had done, you'd fallen short of being the superstar. Nobody would trade. They didn't factor in the Nico Harrison idea of just nobody would trade a 26-year-old superstar. You had to have done something. Yeah. You had to Ja Morant your way out of there. Nico, that's not what happened.
Nico broke the rule. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
They're trying to reward, you know, guys staying with teams who drafted them.
Right. But, yeah, and Luka didn't. I mean, he didn't break that trust. He didn't break that.
No, he didn't.
If I was Luka, I'm suing.
But then you can have guys who force their way out and get traded. So now what do we have to do? Do we have to go to court? Do we have to arbitrate this and say Luka wanted to stay versus James Harden?
Yes.
And he doesn't get it?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, okay. Luka needs to take this to court.
I would love to take Nico to court.
Sue. I would sue the hell out of the
league. That'd be fantastic. Also, by the way, he's also, even though he got the new deal signed, he's also $5 million lighter. Because, of course, in his announcement that he was going back to L.A., he also had to announce that I'm donating $5 million to 77 young athletes around the world to chase their dreams. He continues to just, it's a PR masterclass. I don't know if it's Bill Duffy or whoever it is for Luka, somebody in his camp has just geniusly said, hey, no, here's what you need to do. Go pay for the parking, your first Lakers game. Pay for everybody's parking so they get free parking. Go pay for this.
This whole big media tour that he did last week, going to New York and sitting in a Yankee booth. He didn't do that stuff while here.
No. No,
this Good is, Morning the, America.
Yeah, this is a totally
whatever it was.
This is a plan that somebody is having him execute, and he's doing it great to this point. So, one of the things I wondered over the weekend was, Jane had talked about they kicked around the idea of trading Micah Parsons 2 years ago. I kind of wonder if this is what they wanted, or at least I think it's worth bringing up. So the Cowboys made things so just irritating for Mike McCarthy that he quit. Now there's a debate to be had about whether that was an intentional thing they did or whether it organically came about that he became frustrated and did it. But I think there's a reasonable case to be made that we don't want to fire you, but we'll make it so there's no way you'd want to come back.
Right.
Which is a tactic that gets used sometimes by companies. And it makes me wonder, we would never be able to weather trading Micah Parsons on our own. We would get destroyed for that. What we need to do is we need to create an environment where he wants out.
Hmm.
And then that can be on him. He can be the one who asks out for it. And when we make the trade, we say, we were willing to do it. We wanted to get something done. He asked out. Like what were we supposed to do? He basically wanted to sever ties with us.
Hmm.
Something that maybe the Mavericks should have done, like Nico. You should have created an environment where if you were really hell-bent on get rid of him, You should have let Luka make the request, and you should have leaned on him a little bit and made him go, I don't want to be here anymore. And that's an easier win than just, well, he asked out. You know, right. And then it's not a blind side.
That's an interesting theory. In McMahon's book, apparently, he wrote, the Mavs were so scared of losing Luka that from the day they brought him in, there was not enough for any accountability. When Nico and Kidd took over, they didn't challenge that concept either. So they didn't do anything to force him to want to go. Maybe they talked to him about a referee explosion. Maybe they talked to him a little bit about his weight, but nothing... nothing that would have him say, I want out of here.
The Lakers already got that done in 4 months.
I mean, think of a relationship that's like just a marriage of sorts, right? Like, forget sports for a second. If you have a marriage where one person's like, I don't want to be the one to walk away from this, but I don't want to be here either. We're just going to lay in this toxicity until you decide to go or you tell me to go.
That's and how then, I broke up with like my first like eight people.
And it's like, I'm not the one responsible for this. The fascinating dynamic about this, though, is the question of why doesn't it seem to be as painful a suggestion as the Luka one was?
Because it was a blindside. We're just sitting there on a Saturday night minding our own business, watching whatever the hell was on.
But do you think it's only that?
No, I also think that, you know, Luka's more important than Mike is. Luka, an individual NBA player is more important than any non-quarterback.
You think that just in a vacuum, Luka is more loved as a person and player?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, there's something to that. Also, again, though, like, you know, like, what impact does...
Because there are plenty of people who don't like Micah Parsons. Because of the podcast stuff.
Sure, there's that. You know,
playoff performances and all that.
Yeah, you know, Luka's been better, right? I mean,
Luka's gotten him further, yeah.
He's taken him further. You know, also, like, he's been here longer. A couple years, 3 years longer. He was the replacement to Dirk. It was just going to seamlessly go into the next one.
Yep.
It's not like, and also, like, again, it's the impact that you can have. I mean, you could be a defensive end in the NFL or an edge rusher, whatever you want to call it. And be great and not have a 15th of the impact of a superstar NBA player just because of the way the game is.
My Luka connection and question was, this is so public now versus Luka in secrecy, right? The Mavs argument was it would have screwed up negotiations and offers. So let's compare those two. Now, we don't know if anyone has called and made an offer, but... How will the Cowboys' tactic of this being public now and the Micah story work versus the Luka tactic where the Mavericks told us why Nico only dealt with his buddy, Rob Pelinka?
Yeah.
That's what I'm curious to see. Is this really going to limit the offers now that it's gotten to this point? I don't think so.
No, it'll set off a fervor. People are going to call who go, oh, you might actually trade. Well, I got to call and put an offer in. Like, and that was the thing.
But the other thing the Mavs added was if Luka knew he was on the block, he could destroy some offers. He could kill some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be bad for the organization, right?
Right. And the pushback against that from a lot of people is you got a deal that seemed like Luka had destroyed it. Like that's the deal you ended up with anyway, was one that was like, okay, this was a massively lopsided trade that nobody thought you should be able to do. I mean, so that was a difference right there. I think another problem here, not a problem, just a difference here. I think Micah has embraced the Cowboys. I don't know that Micah has embraced Dallas, if that makes sense. Like, Luka embraced this as this is, like, he was first time in America. This was his American home, was Dallas. And it was, he's obviously so passionate about Slovenia and being a you know, a guy from Slovenia and that identity that he has from that. That similarly, I think when he got to the U.S., it's like, this is home. This is all I've ever known as an American. Like, here in an American home, somebody who's come and lived here is Dallas. And he was, you know, he was somebody who would go around some of the different spots around Dallas and was somebody who enjoyed being here and talked up how much he loved the city of Dallas. I think Micah would say he likes Dallas. I don't think that that's any sort of an issue. I just think it's his identity comes from Cowboys, not Dallas. There was so much of it for Luka that felt like it was about Dallas.
877-881-1053 to weigh in on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. What do you think about private Luka negotiation in return versus this being so public? And what could be offered? and whether it makes a difference.
I mean, the private from the trade perspective?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes a lot of difference because we didn't even have a chance to process it.
No, I'm just saying if they would have announced he's on the block.
Then they would have been such a revolt, they never would have done it. It would have been like, this is Vol Twitter all over again. When they said, hey, we're going to hire Greg Schiano, it was like, the hell you are.
But they
you know, it's going to be the same thing. And they would have, the fans would have revolted to a point where Nico wouldn't even have dared to do it.
True. I agree. But they so clearly underestimated how the fans were going to react to it that I don't think they knew would have happened.
Right.
But like, they didn't do that because it's like, well, we'll get the pushback. We need to just pull the trigger. I just don't think they had any clue that people were going to be that against it.
And Diana Rossini, who kind of I give credit to breaking all of this Friday, said, when Parsons' agent pushed back and attempted to negotiate further, the Cowboys declined to engage with him and told the pass rusher to honor the agreement he had made. The Cowboys front office basically said, no take backs.
Yeah, and a lot of the fan text right now is waiting and saying, the biggest difference is Mike is still here. It's not real yet. As soon as it's real, people will be upset. I don't know. I don't think it'll be the same.
It won't be to that degree. What happened is, in my opinion, Jerry Jones' feelings are hurt. He feels betrayed by Micah's word or agreement in the negotiation. And this is his punishment.
Yeah.
Like, when I hear Jerry speak, if I'm Micah and David Mulugeta, I don't worry one bit. He can sound, the only things he can throw at Micah Parsons are shots verbally and a franchise tag. You're going to tag him one time. Now, we can get the number for the second time, but you want me to be a cancer and a toxic poison for two more years here? Because that's our play. Go ahead, tag me.
Yeah,
I'll destroy the locker room.
And then
you thought my podcast was good then? Like, because Jerry can't have that happen.
No, but then everybody will want him out. Oh, and then Jerry wins for trading him. Oh, you were a cancer. You'd become just so toxic. It may have been Jerry's fault in the first place, but you just handled it so poorly.
We're also your home of the Rangers. They barely avoid getting swept in Seattle. How did the new guys look that Chris Young acquired? Choppy has it in Diamond Cavs. Then Nick Eatman from Oxnard next.